नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 42। कह काक्षेमो निज परयो कियान वृतः स्वपर ध्रुव धर्मेन स्वद्रोह तव कोप पर संपीदया च तथा धर्म। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. How can a religious system that produces envy for oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained? By causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices a religion. Purport. Any religious system but the process of Bhagavad Dharma, that is service as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a system of envy of one's own self and of others. For example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. Such animal sacrifices are inauspicious both for the performer and for the animal. Although one is sometimes permitted to sacrifice an animal before the goddess Kali and eat it instead of purchasing meat from a slaughterhouse, permission to eat meat after a sacrifice in the permission of the goddess Kali is not the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is simply a concession for the miserable people who will not give up eating meat. It is meant to restrict his desire from unrestricted meat eating. Such a religious system is condemned. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. That is the last word in religion. One may argue that the sacrifice of animals is recommended in the Vedas. This recommendation, however, is a restriction. Without Vedic restriction on the purchase of meat, people will purchase meat from the market, which will be overflooded with meat shops, and slaughterhouses will increase. To restrict this, sometimes the Vedas say that one may eat meat after sacrificing an insignificant animal like a goat before the goddess Kali. In any case, a system of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended is inauspicious for those who perform the sacrifices and for the animals. Envious persons who perform ostentatious animal sacrifices are condemned in Bhagavad Gita 16.17 as follows. Atma sambhavita stabda dhana mana madanvita yajante mama yagneste dama bhevaidi purvakam. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes perform sacrifices in name only without following any rules or regulations. Sometimes animal sacrifices are performed very gorgeously with grand arrangements for worshipping the goddess Kali. But such festivals, although performed in names of yajna, are not actually yajna, for yajna means to satisfy its Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is recommended that in this age specifically, yajna sankirtana prahi yajanti hi sumedasa. Those who have good intelligence satisfy the Yajna Purusha, Vishnu, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Envious persons, however, are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as follows. Ahankaram balam darpam, kamam krodham cha samshrita, mat mam atma parad deheshu, padavishtona abhya suryaka, tan aham dvishtaha kururan, samsareshu naradhaman kshiparam kshipam ajarsham asubham asurim eva yuneshu. Bewildered by false egos, strength, pride, lust and anger, The demon becomes envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in his own body and is the bodies of others, and blasphemes against the real religion. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demonic species of life. Bhagavad Gita 16.18 and 19. These persons are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as indicated by the word tava kopa. A person who commits murder is envious of himself and also the person who has killed. For the result of committing murder is that he will be arrested and hanged. If one transgresses the laws of man-made government, he may escape being killed by the state, but one cannot escape the laws of God. A killer of animals must be killed in his next life by the same animal. This is law of nature. One must follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharam Vraja. If one follows any other system of religion, he is subject to punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in many different ways. Therefore, if one follows a concocted system of religion, he is envious not only of others, but also of himself. Consequently, his system of religion is useless. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8 says, Dharma svanustasa pumsaha visvakshena kathasuya nodpada yadi ratim shrama evahi kevalam. Duties, dharma, executed by men regardless of occupation are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. Following a system of religion that does not awaken one's Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is merely a waste of time and labor. So we are continuing this beautiful prayers offered by Maharaj Chitraketu to the Lord. And from the last previous verse and this verse, there is a slight twist in the prayer. As we know, the Lord has multifarious qualities. And because He is multifaceted, prayers, which are nothing but a glorification of the Lord, can also be very, very multifarious. We can glorify the Lord in multiple ways. Like we have different types of prayers wherein we address the Lord directly. We show our humility to the Lord. Like we have different prayers by our acharyas. Siddhi Lalasa is a prayers where they are hankering for the position where they can serve the Lord in their original form. And like that, there are many, many prayers. So here, Chitraketu Maharaj is praying to the Lord, glorifying the process of Bhagavat Dharma or Bhagavat Marga. The Lord is glorious, and similarly, the process of approaching the Lord is also glorious. And for that reason, it is a wonderful fact that Chitraketu Maharaj is telling us that we need to glorify the process of approaching the Lord. And that is Bhagavad Vidhi or the Bhagavad Marga. Bhagavad Dharma, as explained by Prabhupada in the purport, very clearly says, service as the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now in this verse, Chitraketu Maharaj is asking many questions. It's a verse filled with questions. How can a religious system that produces envy for oneself and others be beneficial for oneself or for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? Now these questions are not necessarily for answers. It's not that he's asking some answers from the Lord. But this is one of the ways to speak about a fact. When we know something is for certain not good, then we ask somebody, you are sure you want to do this? Right? Now we don't want to really ask for an answer. But we are just trying to tell them that, well, it is not good. Are you sure you want to do this? Similarly, Chitraketu Maharaj is telling here all the readers of Bhagavatam. He is not asking an answer from the Lord, but he is telling us in his prayers that what we should do and what we should not do. He is saying, what is the use of that religion which causes envy to a person? And Prabhupada very elaborately explains the purport, a situation wherein people sacrifice animals, justifying as it has been, as if it has been sanctioned by some religion. And like that in this world, my dear friends, in this modern age now, there are so many religions, or there's so many things that people are doing on the name of religion, which is so much harmful to people. And they call it religion. Recently, the world is flooded by this attack in London. And it is traced back to some young boys who were inspired by some fundamentalist religionists who are actually following a religion. And their religion, or rather, at least they are concluding from their religion, that it is a holy war. That what they are doing is holy, and by doing that holy activity, the way they are inspiring these people is that if you do this, if you become a suicide bomber, and you give up your life, can you imagine being a suicide bomber? You give up your life, you will go to heaven. You will go to the kingdom of God. That is what they are proposing as a religion. So what Chitraketu Maharaj is praying is so relevant that it is going to happen more and more as the Kali Yuga progresses, that people will do heinous, abominable things as a religion. They'll justify it to be religious. Prabhupada is herein elaborately. Again, Prabhupada's purport is very long here. And what is hitting again and again is the point of animal slaughter. Prabhupada writing about sacrifice to Kali. Now, Prabhupada being a resident of Kolkata, he knows what exactly happens there. Prabhupada writes that there are big festivals organized. And you know, Kolkata is, West Bengal is the hot seat for worship to Goddess Kali and such sacrifices. And Prabhupada is elaborately explaining that they perform big, big yagyas and offer sacrifices of so many animals. But he's saying this is not yagya. What is yagya? What is religion? What is dharma? Dharma means that which satisfies the Lord. Very clear. Everything else which we do in a guise of religion but is not satisfying the Lord is adharma. And to substantiate this point, it is in our Indian environment, we are not so much have preaching heavily in this point of animal slaughter, because still Samadhi India is still religious. But I was speaking to, you know, some devotees who are disciples of Indradume Maharaj. I met them in Ukraine, and I was speaking to them, what do you do in Poland? Because Poland is they do a lot of preaching there. And what do you exactly do? What sort of lectures do you give? What sort of interactions do you have? I said, the only thing we can speak again and again and again is how they should stop eating meat. Because these people are so deeply engrossed in this sinful activity, they will not understand the finer principles of Gaudiya Vaishnavism unless and until they understand this gross sin that they are doing. So our preaching, our ISKCON preaching, in majority of the world, and to a good extent in India, we have to also do that, is how to convince people on not to eat meat. And Prabhupada is not a person who is just spending so much, is not usually spending so much time in writing this purport on this subject matter. It is a very, very important subject matter, to the extent that Lord Buddha incarnated himself as an incarnation especially for a purpose to stop animal slaughter. Can you imagine? An incarnation exclusively for a purpose to stop animal slaughter.
So this is a powerful thing. It's a very serious thing. And our scriptures, they give beautiful stories and beautiful pastimes to make the reader understand the importance of a particular point. It has been mentioned here that Tava Kopa, Prabhupada writes, the persons are condemned by the person who got it as indicated by the word Tava Kopa. Kopa means sharp, right? Kop, anger. So when does a person make God angry? It is mentioned here very clearly in the translation. Causing pain to others, one arouses your anger. Causing pain to others. And a similar situation was seen, and a beautiful story has been narrated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Where a person, his pleasure in life, his purpose of life, his full-time activity of life was to cause pain to others. And not only cause pain to others, but find great pleasure in doing so. That was Mrigari. Narad Muni, after traversing from Vaikuntha, went to the holy place of the confluence of the three rivers, Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. And while he was approaching this place, as we explained by Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is personally telling this story while he was explaining the Atmaram verse. While he was explaining the 61 meanings, right? Of Atmaram verse, he is personally telling this story to Sanatana Goswami. He is telling this story to Sanatana Goswami. You can imagine Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, the Lord himself, is saying this story to one of the powerful Goswamis to drive a point. And he said, when Narada Muni was walking by, he was shocked at seeing a sight. What did he see? He saw a deer who was almost dying, but not yet dead. An arrow shot in his body, and he was profusely in agony, crying, but not dying. And then he walked further, he saw a rabbit in a similar situation. And as he walked further, he saw many, many animals in the similar situation. And Narada Muni was amazed and he was shocked. So who is this person who is doing this? And behind a tree, he saw a very dark complexion person with red eyes, looking very fearful. It is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, looking like Yamraj himself, the god of death. He is a great devotee, of course, Yamraj. But it appears that his features are very dangerous looking. Sometimes devotees look dangerous, but they're devotees. So they never look at the externals. Now look at the externals. So Yamraj is one of the Mahajans. His features, but as explained by Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, he was looking at Yamraj, the Supreme Lord of Death. So Mrigari was looking, and he was just aiming his arrow at a point. And Narada Muni came walking by, and because of the sound of the bushes, all the animals went away. And as explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mrigari was ready to give some of the choicest bed words to Narada Muni. That was the way, obviously, he was such a ruffian. But when he saw Narada Muni's personality, as explained by Chaitanya, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he stopped. He controlled his tongue. And then he said, "What have you done?" he told Narada Muni. "This, I was trying to shoot these animals, but why have you come to this a road which is not usually used by people? Why don't you go by a normal road? Why did you come here?" Narada Muni came out of his way to give mercy. Literally, the road was going like this to the Sangam, but he came out of his way. Mrigari says this. Why did you come like this? Why not using the usual road? Narada Muni took a special mercy and he said, "What are you doing?" And Narada Muni was a first class preacher. He didn't tell him, "Why are you killing animals? Stop killing." Narada Muni said, "Please, kill them fully. Don't kill them half. Because when you're killing them half, they are in tremendous turmoil and agony. And the more you give them suffering, the more you have to face the reactions of causing this sin." He said, "Please understand," he was telling. He said, "But," Mrigari said, "but what do I do? My father trained me like this." It is in my parampara. That we kill animals only, you know, and then we leave them to suffer and then they die and we find great pleasure in doing so. And Narad Muni, by his great purity, this person who was not only a meat eater, but he was such a cruel person. Narad Muni was preaching to him. He said, please understand the severe reactions you have to face. And Narad Muni gave him a darshan of the, what's that, fourth, fifth canto of the hellish planets. He gave the darshan. What are you going to, what is going to happen to you for all the things that you are doing? Prabhupada also explains here that there are severe sinful reactions for animal slaughter. And Mrigari, by the great mercy of Narad Muni, was shocked. He was really startled. He said, oh my God, is this what is going to happen to me? He said, I am doing this just for survival, just to maintain my family. Narad Muni said, you ask your family, are they going to take part of your karma? Obviously not. You have to suffer for every animal that you are killing and much more because you're killing them in such a heinous and horrible way. Prabhupada writes in the purport that this is the mission of the Hare Krishna movement. To help and to save the innocent animals from being slaughtered. Prabhupada is para dukhe dukhi. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. In the same mood as Narad Muni, is instructing all his disciples and grand disciples and all the generation of devotees to come in the future. This is the duty of the Hare Krishna movement, to save the people by knowledge. How what they are doing is so heinous and they will have to suffer for every animal that they kill. And Mrigari said, well, then what do I do? What do I do if I stop killing? What do I do? Narad Muni said, do not worry. Krishna will protect you. Krishna will provide for you. I will provide for you. It was a big test of faith. He said, Mrigari came to Narad Muni and said, please give me your mercy. Tell me, what should I do? He said, first, break your bow. Now that's big, you know, that's really a big challenge. It was a livelihood for Mrigari. He was surviving on that. Mrigari said, please don't tell me to do that. If you want some skins, I have the choices of deer and tiger skins. You take that because you are a sadhu. But don't tell me to do this. He was trying to withhold, obviously. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that when a disciple tries to surrender to his guru, the guru during time of initiation tells him, don't do this. Stop this. That is diksha. So Narad Muni was initiating. And in front of Narad Muni, Mrigari broke his bow. That was a big leap of faith. And Prabhupada writes in a purport, beautiful purport, very encouraging purport. He says, it is not so difficult and not so important to know what we have done in a previous life or in our past years in Krishna consciousness. But the repentance that we have for what we have done is what Krishna sees. Mrigari was repenting like anything and he vowed that I will never do it again. That is very important. Similarly, we should not really worry much about what we have done. We were almost animals. At least I was. Animalistic people. But that's not, the mercy of Guru is very amazing. The mercy really is delivering us. And we don't have to really worry. But when we take a vow, we vow to not do it again. Mrigari took a vow that I'll never do these heinous things again. Narad Muni said, do not worry. Go back, I will make sure that you get enough food, you and your wife get enough food to eat. Don't worry. And Prabhupada writes a brilliant statement in this purport. It is a hidden statement, but a very deep statement, especially for all of us grihasthas, and for everybody actually. Prabhupada writes the first statement, the source of your income is not the source of your maintenance. Now, when I read that, I was shocked. It is a simple statement and we could have easily ignored it. But by Prabhupada's mercy, it was quite evident when we read this. The source of your income is not the source of your maintenance. And I was just analyzing how much we all are so much dependent on the income because we think that is going to maintain us. But here was the brilliant example of Brigari. Narayana said, don't worry, go and I will protect Krishna. Narayana said, I will send you enough food every day. He took the responsibility. The guru takes the responsibility of providing for the disciple. And he said, you give up all the wealth that you earn for this sinful life, distribute among brahmanas, take a simple cloth, cover your body, you and your wife, go to a river bank, build a small hut, grow a tulsi and chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Narada Muni initiated him. Do this and Krishna will provide you. So Brigari, what an amazing transformation. Parivartan. We had this Parivartan festival a few years back. This was a brilliant Parivartan. From a heinous, debaucherous hunter to a amazing self-satisfied sadhu. And as we'll see, that as the story goes further, he stayed in the hut. And because people saw that this person has become such a sadhu, they were flocking at his feet and offering him all the food and everything that is required for his maintenance. And the wife and the husband, they said, well, don't give us so much. We just need enough for our food, morning, evening, give us tomorrow. We don't want more. That was a transformation. We don't want to hoard anything because they were, as Prabhupada writes, they were living vanaprastha life. And vanaprastha life means no extra income. I was getting shocked again and again with all these statements. What is in store for all of us? Prabhupada is very clear. Vanaprastha life means a life of strictness and living just within our means. That's all Prabhupada writes. And then, after some time, Narad Muni was going with Parvat Muni. He said, let's see my disciple. Narad Muni loves to visit, you know, like how many gurus, they visit different zones to see how his disciples are doing, give them association, give them encouragement. Right, similarly, Narad Muni, you know, he's a first class traveling preacher. He goes to his different zones, sometimes to Dhruvalaka to meet Dhruva Maharaj, sometimes here, sometimes there, and then he went to this place and he said, and when this Mrigari saw his guru, he was so happy, he was ecstatic, but he didn't offer obeisances. Had he not learned the Vaishnava etiquette? Is that what is this, the reason? No, that's not the reason. Because he was trying to clean all the ants on the path before he throws his heavy body on the ground in Sashtang Dandavat. Because he was now even concerned with the small ants that would be on his path. He didn't want to cause injury to that small ants. That was a transformation. And when Parat Muni saw this, he said, Narad Muni, you are a touchstone. You have transformed. What a parivartan you have done in this person. You are a touchstone. And Narad Muni gave all his blessings to Brigari. And Brigari had only one request to Narad Muni. Only one thing. He said, please, Gurudev, don't send us so much of food every day. Just send us enough for that day so that we are dependent on you for the next day. What an amazing transformation. This is the preaching of the Hare Krishna movement. Our Srila Prabhupada, you know, what a personality he was. Same in the mood of Narad Muni. He went to America and these people, you know, they may be having very fair, beautiful bodies, unlike Brigari, but the mentality was more disgusting than Brigari. It doesn't say anywhere that Brigari was breaking all the other, you know, regulative principles. But these people were breaking all the principles every hour maybe. Prabhupada, like Narad Muni, like a perfect representative of Shri Narad Muni, traveling, went to America, delivered these Mrigaris, converted them to Vaishnavas, and they became so very fine-tuned in their love for everybody that they are now delivering every single living entities in the world. Srila Prabhupada ki! Yeah. This is the glory of Prabhupada. This is the Hare Krishna movement. To convert hard-hearted, demoniac meat-eaters to first-class, gentle Vaishnavas.
And this is the quality of a Goswamis. Dheer adheer jana priya priya karo nirmat sarav pujito. The Goswamis has been glorified by Srinivas Acharya. They were popular amongst both the ruffians and the gentle. So Srila Prabhupada, Narad Muni are beautifully telling us and very, very wonderfully substantiating this purport by this story. That how exactly in the same way a person who was attached to killing animals, by the strong preaching of Bhagavad Dharma, by preaching to Mrigari on how we should live completely subservient to the instruction of Krishna, you can get rid of all the sinful activities. That is the preaching of Narad Muni. That is what Prabhupada is telling us in this purport. Another important point that Prabhupada is trying to draw in this purport, a long one that he has written, is this very, very important aspect of dharma, swanusasa pungsas, vikshvashena kathasuyaha, notpada yadiratim, shrama evahi kevalam. Very, very beautiful line. Shrama evahi kevalam. There are those activities which do not arouse our desire to hear about the activities of the Lord as simply shrama evahi kevalam. You might be doing externally very, very religious activities. Very, very great, powerful activities, religious activities. But it is shrama evahi kevalam. And this also Krishna substantiates with a brilliant story. Krishna writes all these does all these pastimes just to drive different points for all of us to understand and learn from. Krishna, after stealing the clothes of the gopis from Chirghat, he went to the forest. And when he went to the forest, all the friends of Krishna, they came running to Krishna. They said, Krishna, we are very hungry. Just imagine what sort of relation the friends have with Krishna. That they can tell Krishna, we are hungry, now do something. They are telling Krishna to do something. Amara palana bhara ekona tumar. This is the quality of a surrendered soul. Amara palana bhara ekona tumar. That now my maintenance is your problem, Krishna. Because now we are surrendered to you. The gopas were completely subservient, servant to Krishna. They said, now Krishna, we are hungry. Now you provide for us some food. We have been playing like anything. And he said, our bellies have become like pots of fire. Means Jatragni is so strong now that our belly is like pots of fire. Please do something. Krishna said, oh, I must do something. Krishna takes the responsibility. So he says, you go. And there are these very, very aristocratic, powerful brahmanas who are performing elaborate sacrifices, offering big, big homas, tons of ghee, and doing big sacrifices. Go there, and they have so much of food. Ask from them on the name of Balramji, because he's a Kshatriya. The brahmanas will like to give to Kshatriyas. Ask on his name and beg some food from them. The coward boys, in their innocence, they went. They went and they told the brahmanas, oh my dear brahmanas, you have so much food. I can see all around sacrifices being performed. Big bogus is there. Please give us some food for, you know, Krishna and Balram. And we are also hungry. So we'll have some picnic. So the brahmanas didn't even hear them. They were so busy chanting their Om Sahasra, Shirsat, Purusa, and all different words. They were so loudly chanting that they couldn't even hear what the coward boys were saying. And coward boys said again, oh brahmanas, listen. Sun rahe ho. We are hungry. And Krishna Balram also is hungry. Please give us some food. Brahma said, and then gave some technical reason. And before they could give technical reason, the coward boys also, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, they gave a technical reason. I didn't understand it, so I can't say it. some technical reason that you can give this bhoga even if it was not offered. No problem, you give it because it's Krishna, the Supreme Lord, something like that. And the Brahma doesn't understand the technical reason. They say, go away. And can you imagine if you are hungry and you are sent away without any food? And that too, these are coward boys. And their belly were like fire, like pots of fire. And they were so hungry. They went to Krishna and they said, Krishna, all we have got right now is some smoke that we breathed while we were there. That's all we have now.
some smoke that we breathe while the sacrifice is performed. That's all we, nothing else we got. This is written by Kavi Karnapur in his Anandavan Champu. Beautifully explained. That's all we have, some smoke which we inhaled while we were there. Aur kuch nahi hai. Krishna said, don't worry. Krishna was trying to drive a brilliant purport through this pastime. He said, go to the Brahman wives. The wives of these Brahmanas. They were very aristocratic Brahman patnis. Go to them and on my name ask. And the coward boys, they had so much faith in Krishna. They didn't say, you are sure they will give us? They so faith that they ran again. Even though they were not so successful first time, they ran. And they asked the Brahman wives, please, Krishna is very hungry. And the moment the Brahman's wives, they heard that Krishna is hungry, they were cursing their ears and mind. How are we hearing this statement that Krishna is hungry? Why are you hearing this? They were in great pain. They ran to the kitchens. They opened up all their things. They filled their different plates. And they themselves came. The Brahmana said, stop, stop. Where are you going? Stop. Help us in a sacrifice. Hell with you. We are going to Krishna. When the call comes, you respond immediately. So they went. And they gave to Krishna. And that has been beautifully in our Govinda's restaurant. This is a wonderful one of the themes of our painting. How we are in the same mood of serving the people who are coming to Govinda restaurant, giving the best in the mood of the Brahman Patnis. That's the whole idea why the leader has put this painting there. That's the mood that we are all trying to serve, and in the mood as if they are Krishna's guests are non-different than Krishna. When somebody comes to Govinda's, that's the mood that we are trying to do. So they gave to Krishna all the offerings, and then Krishna was so very pleased with them. And Krishna taught a beautiful lesson. And when the Brahmanas realized, they said, what a misfortune. What a misfortune. Our Brahman wife, our wives don't even know any mantras, any tantras, any puja, any mudra. They don't know any of these things. Mantra, tantra, puja. They don't know any of these things. But still, they achieved the highest perfection of life. They have done the biggest yajna. What is the real yajna? To satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are so busy doing all our yajnas, and we have missed the point. We have really missed the point. So they were glorifying their wives. Very difficult for a husband to do. The falsehood doesn't allow. But our wives have really perfected their lives. And we are so unfortunate. Our knowledge was a big hindrance. And we couldn't see Krishna. We couldn't really understand his glories. So Prabhupada, in this purport, is saying that the only purpose of our life is to please Krishna. And if you are not doing that, it is Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Everything that we do. So we might be very great scholars, great pundits, but if what we are doing is not pleasing to Krishna, it is of no use. And in this purport, one of the important portions that we need to know is the aspect of causing pain to others. And that is one thing that causes great anger of Krishna. And Prabhupada, and the purport writes, the translator writes that causes anger and practices irreligion. A person who does that, person who gives pains to others, becomes an irreligionist. He's doing irreligion. So just like there are many equipments, and as the equipment becomes more and more evolved, the intrinsic quality of the equipment, that it becomes more and more sensitive. For example, in the weighing machines which we see on our stations, if you put a 3 kilo thing on it, it will not move. But it's not so sensitive to 3 kilos. You need to really, a 70 kilo person has to stand, then it will move. But it's not sensitive. But there are weighing machines in the world which will, even if you put a gram of substance, it will deflect. Why is this? because it's the evolved machine, and the more evolved a thing is, the more fine-tuned and sensitive it is to the external changes. Similarly, my dear friends, we are practicing a very, very evolved philosophy. Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is a very evolved, very subtle, very fine-tuned philosophy. And what does it mean for us not to cause pain to others? Obviously, I remember Radhana Swami Maharaj quoting in one of the lectures that we as devotees, we are definitely very, very strong vegetarians. Or as Prabhupada said, we are Krishnatarians. We eat only what Krishna eats. Very strict. But we are very cruel to our fellow devotees. You might be strict vegetarians, but cruel. You might not be cruel to animals, but you might be cruel to your fellow devotees. And that's what is important. And that is very important to understand it, for all of us as sadhakas. Many times it is seen that, you know, in our interactions, we become so very mechanical and casual that we don't really understand that we are causing great pain to others, because we become blunt. We are not fine-tuned the way we are supposed to be. Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is so particular about causing pain even to an ant. How much more we should be so careful of not causing pain to any single devotee. We have this beautiful story that comes to my mind of Rupa Goswami, I mean, inadvertently laughed at a person who was a devotee of the Lord. Not that he was laughing at disfigured form, but he was laughing at some lila of Krishna. But the vision was lost to him. Why? Because it caused pain. His laughter caused pain to a devotee. That's how fine-tuned it is. So many times in our dealings, when we become too casual in our dealings with each other, senior devotees dealing with junior devotees. Recently somebody came to me, you know, comparatively a junior devotee. And this devotee was actually in agony. And sometimes many of us, when we are in the leadership position, we lose track of what we are really doing to a devotee. That devotee was in agony. He was in pain because it was been caused by some supposedly senior devotee. Now, Krishna doesn't tolerate that. So causing pain to others, as far as this purport is concerned, for all of us, obviously we will not cause pain to animals. That's obvious. And that's very clear, we should not. But much more deeper than this, Bhagavatam is not just teaching us just superficial religiosity. It is going to much deeper understanding. Gaudiya Vaishnavism goes much deeper, and we have to understand that we should not even be causing any pain to a devotee, and we should think 10 times before we speak something which is going to pain a person. That's how fine-tuned we should be as far as causing pain to others is concerned. Because be sure, my dear friends, you might be a great devotee, advanced devotee, a powerful leader, having hundreds of people serving you. But if you cause pain, Krishna will not care a hang of what you are doing. If one devotee is pained, that's enough for Krishna to take away his mercy from you. 100%, he will do that. Because Prabhupada says, this purport, this translation says, he is doing irreligion. Causing pain to others is irreligion. Let us all be very, very careful on this point. Let us not be judgmental. Because when we become judgmental, we pass judgments, and that is very painful to people. When we think ourselves to be judgmental, that we are leaders, do this. You might need to be authoritative, but be very careful that you don't pain a devotee. It should not cause pain to a devotee. That's very, very, and that's the way we have been raised by the leaders of this temple.
We have been raised like that. So similarly, we should be doing that. How sensitive we should be, how fine-tuned we should be to this aspect of causing pain to others. So that is what, little understanding I have from this particular verse. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any corrections from devotees present here? Anybody wants to add anything? We'll be happy to hear. Nada Gopinath Prabhuji. Shripad Narad Muni ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki.